Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Ah, Uncle Jaseneb, life, liberty, prosperity, yet another decree stolen from you and me. The ancestors of the Nile Valley left us other messages too, like, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food.
Why is food and drugs under the same administration? They putting drugs in the food to keep money accumulating now. They like to call it additives and preservatives, slowly killing everybody that purchases it. Can you pronounce what's on the back of the label? Then that shit we need to keep off our dinner table now. The food is what's fueling these diseases, paying rich doctors all these medical fees, but they never cure you, they just keep you in need, cut you open for surgery and let your pockets bleed. See, we got away from what we used to eat. We forgot we were kidnapped and forced to eat meat. We ate from the earth, so we communicated with it. We cut the conversation, now check the situation. See, blacks the leaders in heart disease, cancer. We give them money like pills is the answer. Damn, I'd be wrong if I didn't pass the info. Hormones in the food got you thinking like a nympho. Wonder why all these young girls so thick, like a baseball player. Steroids is it. They got it in the vegetables, the fruit, the meat, and all the fast food they be selling in the street. It's a war going on, and our diet must reflect it. We all got the power, we just gotta direct it. Neglect it, never refer to the metal nature that them hoteps, the father of medicine.
Greetings, family. Thanks for joining us again. This is Kenya, one half of your host of Food for Medicine. I am here with my sister, Dr. Asivi Adiro. Are you there, my sister?
Yes, I'm here. Peace, everyone.
Peace. I know you guys missed me last week, but I know I heard the show. I was there in the background listening as my sister did her thing, like she always do. It was an awesome show last week, so I just wanted
to say kudos
today. And I know we're in for another treat this week for, you know, with another dynamic show. And but before we get into that, I'm going to go ahead and give the premises, and then I'll allow my sister to introduce who she is and what she does. But the premises for Food for Medicine is to enlighten African people on how to use food, not just as an alternative to medicine, but to use it as it was intended by our ancestors. This show is designed to teach you how to eat to live instead of living to eat. Ashe.
Ashe.
Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with me, my sister, I am Kenya Jones, and I am an inspired nutritionist and herbalist, and I try to learn as much as I can about healing the body with natural ways, especially food. And my sister, she's going to go ahead and tell you who she is and what she does. Sister, go ahead and introduce yourself to the family.
Yes. So welcome, everyone, especially those who are new to the Dynasty family. My name is Dr. Asivi Adiro, and I'm a naturopathic physician, which means I use holistic therapies like acupuncture, hydrotherapy, diet, nutrition to help the body get back into balance from a state of imbalance. So, and then my specialty and my passion is, of course, using diet, lifestyle, nutrition, and herbs to facilitate that balancing. And that's why, you know, we bring this information to you today, because in my opinion, if your diet is messed up, then pretty much any other therapy you do on top of that is going to not be as effective. So
I agree.
That's why we bring you the information. Yes.
Ashe. Now, I would say this, too, because we're in, like I said, for another dynamic show, and this is something I know that a lot of people listening to can also benefit from. Even if you don't have small children or children, I mean, a lot of this stuff is going to, you can, you know, utilize yourself and also pass this information on to family or friends, and that's one of my things, too, because a lot of times people will come and ask you questions, and I'm like, wait, we did a broadcast right here. You know, go check it out, you know, and they walk away like, wow, I didn't know that. And, you know, so I always say, bring your pen and your pad. Always take notes, get the information so you'll be able to, you know, write this stuff down and purchase some of the things, especially. Now, my sister, she does have a growing store with herbs, so you can go ahead and check that out. Oh, and also Dynasty Network, we do have our page, our you know, DynastyNetwork.net, you can check out past and shows that we have, Food for Medicine, as well as other shows. So, you know, I just want to go ahead and plug that as well. But today's topic is food for healthy children.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that's something that I know we're all going to benefit from. So, I always ask you, sis, what prompted you to, you know, especially with this topic, you know, what prompted you to even go into this? And we can go right into the show from there. And I know you're already, so have you pinned the past?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely get that out. And, oh, and just to let people know, because I notice that sometimes the blog talk, it doesn't always prompt everyone, but usually it's supposed to, but it doesn't. So the number to call in the show, because this is a live talk show, if you have any questions, comments, please do not hesitate to call us. The number is 646-716-7572, and you're supposed to press the number 1 in order to raise your hand so they would know that you want to ask a question or make a comment. So, and I noticed that on other people's shows that I've called in on, sometimes it doesn't always prompt you. So I just wanted to make sure that we did that ourselves today. So, yes. So call in, or if you're not, just sit back, relax with your pen and your pad, and just listen to the information, because I always go, I'm very thorough, for those of you who don't know. I try to be as thorough as possible. But, yes. What prompted me to do this topic today, Foods for Healthy Children, like always, inspired by my, you know, the interactions I have with the brothers and sisters I see, patients, et cetera. Really, you know, the health of our children is crucial. You know, when it comes to us having a healthy society, you know, because with these little people that we call children, they're going to grow into the adults that will move and shape our future. So, you know, I've noticed that the diseases of excess that are affecting a lot of adults is also affecting children more and more. So, and it's getting out of hand, you know, with more young people being obese and having cardiovascular disease. You see children becoming pre-diabetic. Like, I mean, I know even, I knew like a couple of kids when I was growing up that, like, well, we weren't like small children, like, let's say, like in middle school, high school, they were diagnosed with pre-diabetes. And I didn't think anything of it at the time, but, you know, now that I see children at that same age that I was having pre-diabetic conditions, I'm like, what? You're 11, or, you know, you're 15. Like, you should not have pre-diabetes. Like, what kind of, no, absolutely not, you know. And also there's a lot of, I've been seeing an increase in allergies in children as well. Like, it's been on the rise. Like, people coming up, our children coming up with this asthma, having childhood asthma, eczema, seasonal allergies. I actually had seasonal allergies when I was a little one. And I luckily didn't have asthma or eczema. And usually those conditions, eczema, asthma, seasonal allergies, those are like a triad that we see clinically that is basically a sign that the body is toxic, that the body is not the immune system the immune system is working, but it's working hard to fight off something that's assaulting the body inside, and it's an allergic reaction. All of it's an allergic reaction, including asthma and eczema. So those are usually signs that the diet, especially, is not supporting the child, because those diseases stem from the gut. So a lot of times when we see eczema, asthma, seasonal allergies, a lot of times getting rid of things, especially dairy, it's very helpful for those children to see a decrease in symptoms, to even eliminating it. So those are some of the things that I noticed just even when I was in school, and, of course, once I got out and started seeing my own patients, that was a common thread. So just a lot of these diseases are just affecting the young people, younger and younger, it seems that some people are even born with asthma now. You know, so these are things that prompt me to talk about it, because I'm like, you know what, I talk about kind of in general that we should be eating a better diet, things that will help us heal from this, that, and the third. But now I wanted to just do like a focused show on children so that we can also have things that we have in our arsenal of what we can do for them specifically. And I'm also going to talk kind of I'm going to talk a little bit about like infants, about pregnancy just a little bit. I'm going to talk about like preconception also a little bit, because I also do that kind of consultation as well. So people who are looking preconceived or who are looking for like diets to help support during pregnancy, I also do consultations for that as well, because that's super important. Like before the child's even created in the womb, that's even more important right there. So so that's what prompted me to do that, just the observation. And I'm sure everybody else has seen that as well. And then just for those of you who don't know, like when I was young, I was actually a chubby kid too. Like I had problems with my weight when I was little. I was a little roly-poly. I was like just eating food when I was happy, when I was sad. I think a lot of us had that in our family to where we were rewarded with food. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just a African in America thing. But, yes, I would get rewarded with all kinds of food. If I did good on my report card, I got some food. We went out to eat to celebrate things. I mean, and I know that food and celebrating with food is a part of just being African. But I think just changing those habits, too, that's another reason why I like to do shows about stuff like this, is because the children reflect what the adults are doing. You know, if you see your child not being active, not, you know, their bodies are not supporting them, their immune system is low, they have all these kinds of sicknesses, and they're becoming obese, that means that something all of y'all are doing is not being supportive to the family, you know. So
right.
we need to change those traditions we have, make those traditions more supportive to the health of the family, and stop serving up death and sickness on the table if we don't want to see death and sickness in our society, right? You know, coming from within. People without, you know, people outside of us are going to try to, you know, come and infiltrate us all the time, but we can't be that thing that's killing us ourselves, you know what I mean? So, all right. So now I'm going to get into more of the body of the show now. So, as far as children having these diseases, the susceptibility of these children to these diseases can be linked to their diet, as I mentioned, and their lifestyle, of course. You can't separate diet from lifestyle, because they both have to be, diet and lifestyle have to be supportive of each other. And a diet of excess, which is what we see in this country a lot, the Western diet, these empty calorie foods, you know, that word's kind of been floating around in like the health world. And empty calorie foods means that the food is high in calories but low in nutritional content, you know. So think of any processed food, any, you know, overly refined food that you could get your hands on, that would be an empty calorie food. And our children are eating a lot more of these foods, especially when you talk about in school settings, when you talk about, like, fast food settings that, you know, draw children to them because of their advertisement, a lot of those foods have empty calories. They're not nutritionally sound for the growth and development of children. As, you know, and then when you couple that with a lifestyle that is much less active than earlier generations, you know, for all people were more active, you know, the further you go back in time, most of us were more active back in the day. You know, we had manual labor jobs, you know, cars maybe weren't used as much, maybe not, you know, not everyone owned the car, you know, because for whatever reason, cars were just not the norm, you know, the further you go back into history. But then the earlier you come into history, like to the present time, not the earlier, the later you go into history towards the present time, that's when you start seeing just a decrease in the physical activity of people. And then that coupled with an empty calorie diet, it's just the perfect storm for disaster, you know, that it equals, you know, when you get the less active lifestyle with the empty calorie diet, you get the recipe for metabolic disease conditions to manifest, which is what we're seeing now. Obesity, prediabetes in children, allergic, atopic conditions like the eczema, asthma, and allergies in the children, even autoimmune diseases. I'm seeing more children with autoimmune diseases in all these different, you know, hospitals and things. They have, like, different pediatric wards for different autoimmune diseases, and it's actually it's disturbing when you see it. And a lot of it is connected to the diet. And what are the parents, caregivers, and guardians of these children to do? Well, it's time to, like I said, revamp the diet. Look at the patterns of what you see and make the changes that you need to support the children so that they're not, you know, so that they are more active. Encourage them to go out and be, you know, play outside, you know, put down the video games, you know. I mean, unless if they are going to be inside, at least they're reading. You can even do reading outside. If you have a homeschool, do your home some homeschooling classes outside just to get them exposed outside. They also need to get sunlight if it's not too cold or too hot outside, you know. And then the adults need to start educating themselves on how to consciously be aware of the foods that you're eating, because children, most of them at least in this country, they don't have full-time jobs. You know, they're not paying the bills. They're not making decisions on what to put on the table for the most part. So you, as a caregiver, the parent, you have to make the decisions first, because they're going to eat what you put on the table, I mean, unless they don't want to eat. So you have to be the one that's that foundation for them. And that includes, so you can't just say that they need to eat healthier. You have to do it too, because for one, you're not practicing what you preach. And children are great at not listening to what we do. They're excellent at imitating what we do. So, that whole do as I say, not as I do, that doesn't really work. You can't expect to see a successful, you can't expect to see the most beneficial results from that kind of thought pattern. If you want health, you have to set up a healthful environment for your seeds, for them to grow in. So let's see if I wanted to mention anything else. So once you start educating yourself on what is healthier for you and your family to consume, you'll actually begin to understand what really is food and what isn't food, because a lot of the things that we eat today in this country are not considered food if you look at the definition of the word food. So that's one of the things I want to talk about too. I'll go ahead and let's talk about food as it is defined. Like, what is food really supposed to be? So food is defined as, if you look at it like a medical dictionary or like a, you know, like a nutritional dictionary or, you know, something that deals with health, health terminology or medical terminology. Food is defined as a material consisting essentially of protein, carbohydrate, and fat that's used in the body of an organism to sustain growth, repair, and vital processes, and to furnish energy. So in a nutshell, that means something that is sustaining or nourishing life. That's what food is. That is what food is. So with that being said, are the things that you and your family consume, is it promoting life and vitality? Or is it giving energy, you know? Or is the food that you and your family eat creating sluggishness? Do you find that when you and your family have a meal that everybody is all tired and ready to take a nap? You know, people got the itis, you know, opening the pants up because you're so bloated after you eat. You know, is that happening when you feed yourself and your family? Do you notice that your children are hungry a couple of hours after a meal? Like, not even a full hour. Maybe they're hungry later. You're like, you know, maybe like 30 minutes later, maybe an hour or two later. You know, if you answer yes to any of those questions, then the food that you and your family are eating, can it be considered food at all? So those are things that we have to consider. Are the things that you consume nourishing and sustaining life? Is it giving you energy that you need? Because that is the only reason that we need to eat, is to create energy, to facilitate biological processes to sustain life. So everything else outside of that it really can be considered as pleasure eating. It could be considered as addiction. It could be considered compulsive eating. So all those things, you know, if you're not using it to sustain life, then it's an excess. And then from that excessive dietary habits, that's where you get disease. And then when you're teaching children this, then you start seeing the diseases manifest in them. So with that being said, I'm going to just go through a list of healthy eating tips and things that we can incorporate into the lives of ourselves and our children in order to prevent childhood disease processes or the beginning of a disease process that will manifest later in their life as a young adult. So the first thing that I recommend for people to be conscious of with their children, and this for anybody, because really all of this can be applied to the whole family, but I'm talking about children. Know what's in your food. That's one of the first. Read the ingredient labels. If the list is a mile long and contains things in it that sound like they should be in a chemistry experiment, then it probably should not be consumed. This is one of those things that I talk about, and I talk about this in several other shows, about reading the ingredient labels, not the nutrition box. Do not, that right there is no use to you. I mean, if you choose to expend your energy to read the nutrition label, fine. But just know that the money box is the ingredient list. So that means you have to turn the box around or on the side and look at that small print that says ingredients. And you read that and you look at that. Really, the first thing I do is when I do it myself, I just look at it. I don't really buy packaged food at all. I usually prepare most of my food myself. And I'm not making anything right now because I'm doing a cleanse. I'm on like a liquid fast to where I'm juicing, so I'm not eating anything. So, but when I am consuming like solid foods, I make sure that if I do happen to buy something packaged, which is extremely few and far between, I look at the ingredients. And if I look at it and it's like 1,000 ingredients on there, if I can't look at it and see clearly that there's only like maybe at the most 7 ingredients, 5 ingredients in it, I usually just put it back. If you look and there's like a dissertation on the back of that ingredient label, just put it down, because that food has been so far removed from its natural state to become whatever it is that you're holding that it more than likely does not have the nutritional value that you're looking for when you are striving for a healthier food for your family and yourself. So I say look at that. Now, in children's food, a lot of times when they're marketing, they like to market things as being helpful for children, 100% juice, you know, this many grams of fiber, 50% of your recommended daily fiber, vitamins and minerals, whatever, you know, all they try to recommend all that. Healthy bones. You want your kids to have strong bones? Eat this. This has lots of calcium in it. Okay, well, where are they getting that calcium from? Where are they getting that fiber from? Where are they getting those vitamins and minerals that they're advertising from? Look at the label to see. Because they can advertise a whole bunch of things and make it look all colorful, and your kids are screaming for it. They're like, oh, Scooby-Doo, or oh, Dora the Explorer, whatever. They want that. Okay, let's see if this is something that we want to eat. And you can do this with them. Teach your children to do this as well. Let them see you actually engaging in being responsible for the food that you're consuming. And go through it with them. All right, look, so ask little Kwame, does this, is the ingredient label on this too, is it long? Does it have more than 10 ingredients? He'll say yes or no. Yes, it has more than 10 ingredients. Do you know what this ingredient is? No. Does it look like something that's in a science experiment? Yes, we shouldn't eat it. So does this have high fructose corn syrup? Yes. We learned that high fructose corn syrup is bad, right? Yes, so we probably shouldn't eat this, right? So these are things that you should look at. Does it have phthalates in it? Does it have fructose in it? Does it have, you know, anything in it that doesn't look like it should be in food? Don't buy it. And those are the things that you have to be conscious of. Don't just get caught up in the advertisement on the front of the box. Because with all of our food, but especially with children's food, like they advertise to be marketed towards going to children, a lot of times people get caught up in the labels and or caught up in the advertisement on the front. Don't do that. So just get into reading labels, and once you see that, you'll see the better choice of preparing your foods at home. That's tip number two, is preparing more meals at home. This way, you can control all the ingredients that go into your food and that your children are eating. And this makes it you can make it as super nutrient dense as you like. If you know that you want your children to have more calcium and magnesium and sulfur and phosphorus and vitamin E every day, then you can make sure that they have tahini in everything that you give them. You can make sure that they have flax seeds in everything that you give them, because you know what you want them to have. You have full control. If you want your children to stay away from wheat, you can make sure that they stay away from wheat, because you'll be preparing their food. You'll use quinoa flour and kamut and spelt instead of wheat for your kids. If you want your children to be more high raw vegan, you want them to not eat rice, you make the food for them. You don't have to worry about them putting rice protein or wheat gluten and stuff. A lot of the stuff they put in these children's foods nowadays, because you are making their food. Now, make sure that you prepare your kitchen for this transition as well. Like, let's say that you are just listening to the show and you have not prepared your kitchen for that kind of lifestyle, but you know that you want to make this transition for you and your family. You want your kids to eat healthier. So make sure that you prepare your kitchen for this change. Use up the old food, or just get rid of it. Just throw it away, because you know it's poison anyway. Just throw it away. And stock your fridge and your pantry with new healthful ingredients to have on hand for easy food prep. And make sure that you're using whole food ingredients. Usually the further you get away from the plant, like I said, the more refined the product is. So buying those mock meats and, those foods in a box, those foods that, any kind of food that is not looking like the plant that it came from anymore are usually going to give you unhealthy doses of chemicals and trans fats and sugars and starches, things that you don't want, And so my recommendation is to use fresh, or need be, frozen, at the very least, vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, legumes, to create your meals for your family. This way, you're giving them the most optimal array of nutrients that they require for baseline nutritional needs. Remember, you're trying to get most of your nutrients from the foods you eat. You don't want to have to rely on supplements and you don't want to have to rely on, like, synthetically extracted, vitamins and minerals that they give you in these, like, things you can get from, like, GNC and all that. You want to get from whole foods, herbs, spices, things like that. So really getting back to the making of your own foods. Some things that have helped me and things that I've recommended to my patients, especially those patients that have children. Food prepping, like, ahead of time is like a lifesaver. If you have multiple kids, or you have even if you have one child, or a couple, and especially if they're school age, meal prepping is like something that will save your life. Make large batches of a meal. Let's say that you pick one day, like on Sunday or something, or Friday, and you make a big batch of a meal, like a big casserole or a stew or like callaloo or rice, some kind of rice dish or something. Just make it one day so that you can eat from it for like the next 3 days, and then you cook it, and then you cook again on a day that you know that you'll be able to cook again, like on Wednesday or something. Say Friday you make something, you have something to eat on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday is the next time you eat, so Sunday you're going to cook again, and then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is the next time you cook. So let's say you do that. That way you don't have to cook every night, and then you can have things that you can prepare for their kids, say the night before for their lunch. You can just pack their things. You can pack their lunches the night before so that they have something to take with them that's healthful, so they don't have to, like to say they go to public school, they don't have to consume those school lunches that they have and they give them, which are a lot of times not the most healthful. Even though some school districts are trying to incorporate healthier meals, which is fine, but they may not be up to your standards. A lot of times they still get you the cheapest things. they get those kids the cheapest foods they can, you know, but what they think is maybe a little bit healthier, but it's really not that much healthier. And it won't hold up to your standards of what you want for your children. So I recommend make the meals ahead of time and have them for them to take. You know, you can do things like you can make your own veggie burgers. Make some veggie burgers the night before ahead of time and put it on like some Ezekiel bread or put it on some collard leaves and put some tahini sauce in there. Juice them some apple juice, fresh apple juice in your juicer and put it in their little thermos, put it in the fridge in their lunchbox. They're good to go. You know, they have a healthful lunch that they can take with them and not have to worry about needing something. Put healthy snacks in their bag as well. Give them a little bag of nuts and seeds and raisins or currants and make some like granola bars for them. You know, there are like tons of granola recipes on YouTube. There are tons of granola recipes on the internet. Make your own granola for them and then make bars like on a Sunday. Just have like a granola day. And where you and the kids are making granola so that everybody can have granola. They can take to work. They can take to school. You know, get everybody involved in the meal prepping, you know, so that they understand that, you know what, this is way more important than us, you know, doing other things. You know, instead of watching TV, instead of watching Scandal, and what's the other show with the, y'all see, I don't watch TV. Oh, Empire and all the other stuff.
Yeah, I was about to say Empire.
I watch TV. I don't have time. Instead of watching all these shows and stuff, you could be making food for the next 3 days. You know, you could be making your granola or your health food bars and stuff to take on the go. So this is what I'm talking about: making healthful traditions in the family and replacing the unhealthy traditions with healthy ones. You know, so that everybody gets on board, so that we're all learning, and so that the children can then carry that on into their own lives and become healthful, responsible adults as well. Now, avoid giving children refined sugars, starches, oils, and grains. This can be in the form of sodas, those juices that they try to tell you is 100% juice, but it's really this concentrated pasteurized juice. And when something is pasteurized, that means it has been cooked. Anytime you put heat to sugar, it becomes a drug. It changes its chemical structure. And most people now should know, if you listen to Dr. Africa, if you listen to Dr. Sabi, if you listen to any of our healers, Queen of Fula, they all talk about how sugar is one of the most detrimental substances you can put in your body. And it's like crack. It's basically crack. And when you heat crack, it becomes activated, and then it's in the form that it can go into the bloodstream and do the damage it does. Same thing with sugar. When it's heated, when it's baked, when it's heated for the pasteurization process for preserving juices, it does the same thing, which is why children who consume juice as one of the main beverages in their diet, a lot of them have insulin resistance problems later in life. They can become pre-diabetic. They have obesity problems because that's a lot of calories in a few cups of juice. Look at it. If you have juice in your house, look at that juice. Look and see how many calories those servings of juice. And also, a lot of times we don't even know what a serving is. We look on the juice for these children's fruit juices and stuff. Look and see how much a serving is. Sometimes it'll be like a third cup, but you're pouring yourself and your child like a glass of this juice. So that's like, 100, 200 sometimes calories of juice. And if you're not doing any physical activity, if you're not also eating something that is maybe not less calorie dense or something else that is going to help to slow the sugar release into your bloodstream, such as like a high fiber food, then that's just going to accumulate. It's going to turn into fat. It's going to turn into toxic acidic toxic waste in the body. So we really don't understand the damage that these pasteurized juices can do. That's why I always recommend fresh fruit juices. If you're going to consume fruit juices, which I don't recommend people just drink straight up fruit juice. apple juice is okay because apple juice is very alkaline. But like if you're just drinking straight up like grape juice and stuff like that, no. You can cut that with some greens. Like throw some kale in there, throw some arugula in there, some lettuce, something like that, cucumber, you know, and make them juices that way, fresh, just so. So that they're not eating these cooked juices that are just basically sugar. Yes, 100% juice, but it's 100% cooked juice, which means 100% sugar. So just make sure that you are making the conscious effort to remove those things from their diet. And then, of course, sugar is overstimulating. It is not the only thing that is overstimulating our children, but sugar is one of those things that is a stimulant. And again, we're cooking it, we're putting it in our children's systems, and then we're wondering why they can't sit still in class. You know, we give it to them first thing in the morning, you know, breaking their fast, and then they're in school, you know, bouncing off the walls, driving the teacher crazy. Well, they're also bouncing off the walls and driving the teacher crazy because if they're in like a public school, they're probably just bored and not being challenged and, you know, not the curriculum is not supporting them. So that's a whole different thing, you know. But coupled with that, now they're overstimulated and their energy is also off balance. And they're just, you know, what are they supposed to do? These are children. They don't know that they're not articulating this about their diet. They're not articulating this about their school system. They just know how they feel, and they're going to act out. So, you know, we don't think about that. We just try to discipline them, and they don't know why they're feeling this way, but that's what the food will do to them. And then you're kind of disciplining your child for something that they don't have any control over, you know. Yeah, you can tell them to sit still, and they can sit still for maybe like 2 seconds, but if their body is overstimulated by this chemical and they're in this system, this school system that is horrible, then they're just going to be bounced off the walls even more. So that's something that we have to think of too. You know, when we're talking about the behavior of our children, you also have to make sure that you're being supportive for their behavior by giving them foods that are going to nourish their nervous system, foods that are going to nourish their brain, you know, making sure that they're having proper essential fatty acids in the diet, such as omega-3 fatty acids, which work to nourish the brain and the nervous system. So things like your flax seeds are going to give you that, chia seeds, walnuts. And remember, walnuts, that Dr. in the Signatures aspect, they look like the brain. They look like the hemispheres of the brain. So a great meal, a breakfast to give your children before they go to school would be a meal that has walnuts in it. You can make them like a quinoa porridge. You can put some soaked walnuts in there. You can make walnut seed butter and put that in there with some apples and have apples and walnut seed butter for breakfast. You can make walnut milk for them before they go to school. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things you can do. And then you can put some flax seeds in there, too, to add to the essential fatty acid aspect. So that would be an excellent meal to nourish the brain, nourish the nervous system before they go to school. Also, what's another thing that I was going to mention? The starches and the grains, you know, the over refined starches and grains. So in the form of like pastries and snack foods that we give our kids, those things too, overstimulating, spiking the blood sugar, you know, making their energy off balance. They're going to be bouncing off the walls. And then they're also going to have crashes. Because remember, when the blood sugar goes up, you get this kind of jolting energy, and it feels good, or sometimes it may not feel so good because you'll be kind of like, kind of jittery. But when it comes down, it is a crash. And adults feel this too. This is when you eat your pastry and your coffee, your sugary coffee in the morning, and then you have a crash midday. That's that midday lull. Kids have that too when we give them the same kind of food that we eat in the morning, or we give them some kind of, you know, kid snacky pastry Pop-Tart thing in the morning, or that sugary cereal or sugary granola type things in the morning that we think are healthy, but they're really not. They're really full of sugar. And that makes them have those midday lows too. And then what does that look like in children? Children become restless. their attention spans are even shorter. You know, children already have short attention spans, but when their blood sugar is low or when they're not nutritionally supported, their attention span is even worse. So, and that's when you get the behavioral problems, like towards the midday and towards the evening, because then the kids, their blood sugar levels are off the chart, or they're off the chart, meaning they're too low, and their cells are hungry. Their tissues are hungry for that real nutrient-dense food that it was looking for, but it didn't get. So now, you know, we're looking for something else, and instead of that, we're just going to act out. So just make sure that you are supporting them, especially at breakfast, but, you know, throughout all the meals that they have during the day, because a lot of that can be linked to how they behave, since, you know, children, you know, they're going to act however their body feels. They're not going to suppress it. And as for the sugar, use natural sugar. So if you do want to sweeten the food for the family, use natural sugars from fruits. So like dates, you can add dates to foods. You can use dried fruits. Maple syrup is a better option, even though you don't want to overdo the maple syrup either. Molasses has way more nutrients than most sweeteners because molasses is what is extracted from the white sugar. But to make it white, molasses makes real, like true brown sugar brown. But in order to make it white sugar, they have to extract the molasses from the sugar. And this is done through a cooking process in order to refine white sugar. So the molasses has all the nutrients that the plant had in it. So if you want to use molasses to sweeten food, that would be a more optimal choice because it is more high in nutrients. Now, again, with these syrups, you have to be very careful because syrups are technically a refined food because they are cooked. They've been extracted from the plants in order to make these syrups. You don't find syrup in nature unless you're talking about, like, honey. Honey would be another a better choice than, like, white sugar and some of these other refined sugars. It's even better than, like, agave. Unfortunately, I've said this on other shows, agave is one of those things that has been perverted. They have highly, highly, highly refined agave syrup to the point to where it's basically like high fructose corn syrup. And it is even less nutritional than white sugar. So agave nectar is actually not a health food, in my opinion. It is a chemical. It's a highly refined chemical because they've so highly refined it. It's basically like 70-80% fructose. So I wouldn't recommend using agave. But like I said, any of the syrups you need to be used very, very sparingly because it is refined. This is not something that you want to use, like, all the time in your food. Like I said, if you want to sweeten things, use fruit, dried fruit, dates, and then stevia is also another choice you could use because stevia is an actual plant. I recommend using the green stevia powder because stevia is a leaf. It's green. It's not white. The white extracts, I don't know what that is. That's something that's highly refined also, and it can be overstimulating. The same goes for those tinctures, so the liquid stevia supplements. Those also, I would rather you use the whole food, the whole stevia leaf for sweetening your food. And remember to use it sparingly because stevia has a strong aftertaste if you use too much of it. So just make sure that you are, just using your taste buds. Make sure you taste as you go along when using stevia. So, yeah, so those are some alternatives. Dates, dried fruit, maple syrup, glasses, and stevia powder, the green leaf powder that you can usually find at herb stores. And like I said, this is a live call-in show, so if you have any questions or comments, do not hesitate to call in. The number is 646-716-7572, and you can press the number 1 to raise your hand if you have a question. With that, I'm going to go on. Let's see if anything else I wanted to speak on. Oh, remember to use high-quality oils when cooking. And the reason for this, again, is because you want to make sure you're not giving your children rancid oils because those are like trans fats. Like if you cook an oil that should not be heated, then you will just turn it into a trans fat. For example, olive oil. And I used to cook with olive oil like back in the day, but I don't anymore. I just use it on salads and I use it when I'm, you know, preparing raw food dishes. But coconut oil would be a better choice to heat because coconut oil has a much higher smoke point than some other oils. The same would go for something like palm oil. Palm oil is also better to cook with because it has a higher smoke point as well. It won't, which means that it will not turn into a trans fat upon being heated. Olive oil, not so. Avocado oil, walnut oil, the same. You can't cook with those. Sesame seed oil is another one of those oils that you can, that does better with heat. I personally wouldn't, like, try to, like, fry in sesame oil just because I feel like it's not as stable in heat as, like, a coconut oil or a palm oil. But it would maybe do a little better with, like, sauteing or maybe if you're just putting it on something that you're steaming, something like that. But for the most part, I use sesame oil in salads also. I don't cook sesame oil. But I have heard mixed feedback from people using sesame oil for cooking. So just make sure that you smell the oil as you're cooking and making sure it's not changing in the smell, make sure that it's not smoking when you're cooking it. That all can give you indication that it is being oxidized in the heat. So, and when you give that to children, what that does is it can disturb the nervous system because your nervous system, your brain, uses the oils that we take in order to produce the cells that make up the brain and the nervous system, the sheaths that are around the nails. Your nerves, your neurons are like cables. So think about like an electrical cable. It's like a black cable, but when you cut it, there are like a whole bunch of other little smaller wires inside of that cable. That's what your nerves look like. So the sheath, so that black part of the cable, which would be the sheath, the nerve sheath in your body, that sheath is made up of the essential fatty acids that we eat. So depending on the kind that we eat, if we eat healthful omega-3 fatty acids that are found naturally in plants, it makes that sheath flexible, and it makes it to where the electrical signals that we need to communicate from one part of the body to the other, from the brain to another part of the body, it makes it to where that communication can happen smoothly. So that means your concentration will be better, your focus will be better. That means that memory will be better. All the things that deal with your nervous system, stress response, all of that will be better. Your nervous, the nervous tension, that'll be able to have a better response. Your body will have a better response to that. So it'll be more fluid. That communication will be more fluid in the body. Now, on the other hand, if you eat refined fats, trans fats, you know, these things that you find in fast foods, fried foods, you know, overly processed packaged foods, when you eat those fats are very rigid. That means that the cells that make your nerve sheaths are going to be rigid. They're not going to be as flowing. So that means that the electrical signals of your nervous system are not going to be as free flowing. That means what happens? Concentration goes down. That means your focus goes down. That means your nervous system just becomes not as able, it doesn't become as readily available to communicate those signals it needs to communicate to the other parts of the body. So in children, that can come as behavioral problems as well because now they're not able to process things as they would if they were on a healthier, if they were consuming healthier fats. So nervous systems will become disturbed. So that's why it's a really good idea to make sure that you're getting good quality fatty acids in the diet so that they can have a more supported nervous system. You also make sure that you are using 100% whole grain products. Again, read labels. Make sure that there are no added sugars in the whole grain products that you use, no high fructose corn syrup, no hidden wheat flours. If you're trying to stay away from wheat, just make sure that that's what you are purchasing, because a lot of times they will say that something's whole grain, something is, you know, 100% rye, you know, something is a spelt bread or quinoa bread, but they will hide wheat in the ingredients. That's why you must read that ingredient label. I encourage everyone to try gluten and wheat-free products in the form of breads, pastas. Do have wheat-free, gluten-free pastas and breads and flours and cereals. So go to your local health food store or a farmer's market, go online and look for these products, because if you're trying to find alternatives to these refined wheat products, you know, if you're used to making pasta, having pasta night, or making your own bread or having breads, then you can find these more healthful alternatives in the form of, like, for example, there's quinoa bread. They make bread out of quinoa. There's kamut. There's spelt. And these are grains that are alkaline. These are grains that, like, Dr. Sabi recommends in his program that he puts people on, because these grains have been found to be ancient, non-hybrid, and alkaline. So you can eat as much as you want, but you will not get that acidic buildup in the body and that mucus buildup in the body. So kamut bread, quinoa, spelt, foino bread or flour that you can make it with. And then they also have it in cereals, quinoa cereal, kamut cereal, amaranth bread, flours if you make your own. You can make your own bread, you know. So just look for these different alternatives to these foods that you're eating so that you can make healthier choices. As for protein, because everybody wants their children to have the right amount of protein, right? Everybody always asks me that. Well, if I got them eating it this way, then how am I going to make sure they have the right protein? Well, I did a whole show on protein a while back, so you can look in the archives and get the full lowdown on protein. But you don't have to worry. If you're giving your children, even if they're vegan, if you're giving your children a vegan diet, you don't have to worry about protein, because plants have amino acids, and amino acids are the building blocks for all protein. So if you're feeding them legumes, nuts, seeds, you know, greens, plenty, plenty, plenty of protein. Now, if you want to ensure that they're getting, like, high amounts of protein, you can make them things like nut and seed milk, so things like walnut milk, sesame seed milk, and you can, like, add some cacao to it and a little bit of honey or some stevia or maple syrup and make it like a chocolate sesame seed milk or a walnut milk. You can make them green smoothies. Greens have an abundance of calcium and proteins in them. I mean, you can feed them things like citrus fruits. Citrus fruits have a lot of amino acids in them. Flax seeds. Chia seeds, they have a lot of protein in them, as well as coconut. Giving them coconut gives them also those essential fatty acids as well as the amino acids that they need. So coconut milk, you know, you can also make them coconut milk, feed them coconut. There are plenty of ways that they can get all the protein that they need each and every day. And this is without you having to give them a whole bunch of tofu and mock meat products, because studies have shown that over-consuming or eating an abundance of, like, tofu or, like, refined soy products and soy isolates, like protein powders and texturized vegetable proteins and texturized soy proteins and things like that, it's been shown to turn on genes that create cancer, that create autoimmune diseases, food allergies, all of the above. So, again, if you are trying to heal yourself and your children from these kinds of ailments, over-consuming soy products is not going to be the alternative to the, you know, to your meat and all that kind of thing. You want a proteinaceous meal. It feels like you're eating meat, or giving your kids something a little bit more hearty, then do something like a mushroom burger. Mushroom, if you haven't had a mushroom veggie burger, man, that tastes just like a burger. If you season it right, it'll be delicious, like a portobello burger. You can do like a veggie mushroom burger, like with bell pepper and mushroom, like portobello mushroom. You can do onion, put your spices in there. Man, it'll taste just like a burger, because once it's cooked, or once you dehydrate it, whatever, however you're gonna make your burger, it has that same like texture, kind of like ground meat. I don't particularly like my vegan food to taste like meat, but I guess I have transitioned out of that need for my food to taste like meat. But when I was first eating mushroom burgers, I was like, man, this tastes like meat almost, you know. So that was something that helped me to transition into those kind of foods as well. Dairy, since I'm speaking about, like, using alternatives for these foods, these meat products, dairy is extremely mucus-forming and inflammatory. Studies have shown that children given milk products before the age of 1 had a higher risk of developing autoimmune disease, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes. So giving milk to children at any age can also GI diseases, like allergies, like I mentioned, all those allergy conditions, eczema, asthma, seasonal allergies, they all start in the gut. So that gut degeneration happens when you start feeding your children these formulas that have milk in them, these cereals with milk, all these cheeses and things like that. It just erodes away their little guts. And then that causes the allergies to manifest and the autoimmune diseases to manifest. And then you don't know what happened. You're like, oh, but we feed them well, and, you know, we thought we were doing our best. And you were, based on what you knew. But I'm telling you now, dairy is one of the most detrimental things that you can give your children, because it is so mucus-forming and inflammatory. So as an alternative to that, use plant-based alternatives to these dairy products. So like plant-based milks, like the nut and seed milks, the walnut milk, sesame seed milk, Brazil nut milk. They also have, you go to health food stores, they even have like coconut milk yogurts and cheeses and sour creams made from almonds and, you know, and what else? They have like rice cheeses and all these other kinds of things. Now, I recommend everybody learn how to make their own nut and seed milk so that you can use the most helpful and alkaline milk sources possible. So like Brazil nut milk, sesame seed milk, and walnut milk are the most alkaline types that you can make. Dr. Sabi recommends that you use those nuts and seeds because they are not so hybridized that they're going to be, you know, cause any problems as far as mucus and starch. And they also are just the most nutritionally dense as far as the nut and seed family or the nut and seed choices that you have. Also, you can make your own cheeses. All you need to do is just, once you start getting good at making the nut milk, you can also start fermenting these milks, or just making like your own nut and seed cheeses. You can go on YouTube and learn how to make them. It's very, very easy. You can either use a probiotic or you can just ferment it out on your counter. I've done it several times and it comes out great. And then you can use that as an alternative for the cheese and the milk that you used to use, and it's delicious. And then you can flavor it how you want. I've put vanilla in my nut and seed milks before. You can put chocolate in it. You can put cinnamon in it. Just do what you like and have fun and be creative. And then, like I said, get the children into the process of making these foods so that they don't have to rely on going to the store and so that you don't have to rely on that. These, again, are creating healthy habits in the family so that the children can carry it on and be helpful adults. And while I'm thinking, since I'm talking about milk, I also want to talk about breastfeeding. Breastfeeding is essential for newborns, infants, and small children. Yes, I said small children because traditionally, if you look at our ancestors and how they reared children and their time, the oldest age to cut off from breastfeeding was about 5 or 6 years old. So people were breastfeeding for 1, 2, 3, and 4 years, you know, 5 years. Now, I'm not saying you have to breastfeed your child till they're 6 years old. I mean, if you want to, you can. But this is how essential breastfeeding is. It's the mother's milk that equips children with the foundation of their immune system. So the state of your child's immune system is pretty much set once they get on the breast. So whether or not you were put on the breast as a child, a lot of your immune system issues that you may have can stem from the fact that maybe you were or were not breastfed at an early age. Now, some people bounce back from that, depending on how their diet was, because if your diet was supportive, then you can have a healthy immune system. But a lot of us, I mean, me included, you know, a lot of us weren't raised for years in the early years of our life on the breast. But this is something that our ancestors taught us to do that we've deviated from, and it's actually showing up more and more in the children today, you know, the detrimental effects of it now. So it's the mother's milk that equips the children with that foundation of their immune system, because the mother's milk supplies antibodies, it supplies enzymes, hormones, and not to mention it provides necessary proteins, vitamins, and minerals for growth and development. So it's the best, and the best part about it is free. It is free. All you got to do is just be a mama and make sure that you're eating healthfully. Feed your baby. You don't have to buy Similac. You don't have to go out and buy all this expensive organic baby, synthetic baby food, or formula. You don't have to do that. Just put the baby on your breast. And studies have shown that babies who are breastfed are calmer. They're not as fussy. They are not, you know, the bond between the mother and, you know, is a lot stronger. Not saying that just because you don't breastfeed, your baby's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be calm and all that stuff. But a lot of times when children are fussy, when infants are fussy, if you put them on your breast, they'll calm down. You know, I've seen it time and time again, you know, just wearing the baby on your chest and having having them on your breast keeps them calm, because your rhythm, the rhythm of your heart, the rhythm of your speech, you know, all of that calms baby down. Breastfeeding is something that I see a lot of sisters getting back to. We are getting back to it, but it's something that we need to continue to encourage in our community, because it's something that's so essential to the health of our children. That's the first food. That is our first food. So mothers and sisters who are thinking about becoming pregnant, who are planning to conceive, start getting your bodies together now, to eating healthfully, making sure you're getting all of those necessary nutrients, because if you want to get pregnant, make sure that your body is going to create the best milk possible. And the best way that you can do that is by consuming foods that are healthful and high in nutrients. Moringa is one of the best foods for a breastfeeding mother to eat, because, for one, it'll help your milk come in more abundantly, but it will also make your milk that much more nutritious for the children. And even for children who are off the breast, who are eating solid foods, moringa is another food that is very, very, very good, very, very nutritional for young children to eat, because it has pretty much, I want to say it has like 94 of the 102 minerals that you need to sustain life. So it's basically like a herbal multivitamin, if you want to put it that way. Put it in everything. Put it in all of their food. Put it in your food. And it'll be something that will just boost the nutritional quality of all of their meals. So moringa is something that I recommend the whole family consume. As far as baby foods can also be made at home by basically using whole fruits, vegetables, and grains. Simply wash and peel fruit or vegetables and then steam and mash them by hand or with a food processor. If you have like a baby food mill or a really good blender, you can use that too. There are certain whole grains. Really, grains are a little hard to digest for children, for babies. Because their little digestive systems aren't as advanced as ours is as an adult. So, you know, like rice and things like that can be really hard for them to digest. But if you must give them a cereal, because let's say your milk isn't coming in for some reason, which shouldn't be which you should be able to have like a doula or a lactician who can be there and help you with your milk not coming in. Eating things like moringa, fenugreek should help with your milk coming in. But if for some reason you can't breastfeed, you can make cereals or you can make milks out of things like millet. You can make it out of kamut. It's just going to be a little bit harder on the digestive system. Just make sure you strain it, you know, strain a lot of it out, strain a lot of the pulp out. Or if you have a really good blender like a Vitamix, you can blend up the grain very finely and give that to them in a bottle. If you cannot breastfeed, you can also do things like make the baby cereal from those alkaline grains, and then you can also put some digestive enzymes in it. So, like if you have digestive enzyme, plant-based digestive enzyme capsules, you can put some of, like you can put half of it into the cereal for the child to help with digestion. This is just because, you know, they shouldn't be eating any solid foods at all, but if you have to make a cereal for them because you cannot breastfeed, this is just a way for you to help them with digesting it. Large batches of the baby foods can be frozen in empty baby food jars. If you're actually making baby food, and then you can have, like, individual servings that you can place in you know, you can place in some warm water once you're ready to start feeding for the day. Many children who are older, they can eat solid meals with the family. You don't have to create individual baby foods for them, especially if you are naturally weaning them, like letting them tell you when you're ready. They're ready to be weaned off the breast. Most of the time, they'll reach for foods that they want, and that's when you'll know that they're ready to start, you know, eating. And then you can just feed them what you're eating off of your plate. And then once they get older, you can start making them their own plates. Breakfast for the little ones should not be heavy with starches, nor should it be sugary, because you're breaking the fast. You know, if they're sleeping for 7 to 8 hours, the body needs nothing that's super heavy. It needs something that's lighter and fresh, like fresh fruits, vegetables, light starches, and protein. So, you know, foods can include berries, apples, nut butters, green smoothies, whole grain cereals with plant-based milks. Those things are appropriate for breakfast. Lunch for children should be the heaviest meal of the day because it's the time of the day when the sun is highest, their metabolism is high, and fully running. So pack them a nice meal for lunch, and this will help them to be supported for the rest of the day energetically. You know, give them a lot of greens, give them a nice green salad, you know, a veggie burger, something with a lot of fiber, put flax seeds in whatever they're eating, healthy fats. That will just give them the energy they need to function for the rest of the day. Water is essential for all bodily processes, and most especially in growing children. So pack them a few bottles of water, you know, to have throughout the day, especially if they're at school. Dinner should be light as well, eating food again later in the day, because the body's preparing for rest soon after that. So make sure that they eat lots of green, leafy vegetables at dinner. It should be served up with, you know, something that helps with digestion. So like light starches, like, you know, like the quinoa, the kamut grains, what else? Amaranth. Those are like some light, non-starchy grains that can be served with dinner. Everything else should be like a vegetable, greens, peppers, onions, cucumber, squash. Those are things that are going to be lighter for dinner. Also, another thing you can do if they're eating dinner, when they come home, have like a really good digestible fruit juice ready for them. So something like papaya juice or like pineapple juice, because those fruit juices have digestive enzymes in them that will help with making the meal to come maybe a half hour or an hour after that. It'll help it to digest a lot more easily because now they have that digestive juice. You don't have to give them a lot. Just give them maybe a cup or like a half cup of a really nice high digestive juice, like like papaya. Papaya would be excellent to give children, even yourself, the whole family, should have like a juice, like papaya juice, before they eat dinner to help with digestion. And make sure to communicate clearly with the family about the guidelines you have for the foods that your children can eat or they cannot eat. And this goes for everybody in your family, grandmama, auntie, granddaddy, you know, if you have maybe an ex-spouse and maybe you're in a new marriage or something like that and your children are not living with both of you at the same time, like maybe you're there at one place at one part of the month and another place another part of the month, make sure you communicate. If you don't want your children to eat meat, communicate that with everybody, you know, so that they are aware and respect the type of living for health that you have laid out for your family. Some people giving your children any kind of craziness. I've heard horror stories about folks leaving their children with relatives and then they come back and they've been eating hot dogs and candy and all kinds of stuff. And they're like, what? So just make sure that you communicate that and then be firm, stand firm with that. You know, nobody should be feeding your children or, you know, they shouldn't be feeding your children things that you do not agree with, because this is their health. This is their development. This is the foundation of their lives. And everyone in the family should be supportive of that. So that's one of the last things that I wanted to mention. As we are transitioning our families into these healthier lifestyles, and everybody may not be as supportive, so make sure that you surround yourself with people who are supportive. If there's somebody in the family that won't support your children in living this way and having this healthful diet, then they probably don't want to see them. I would just be like, look, if you see my children things that I do not agree with, then you don't want to see them. You know, you can always come to our house and see them, but then you don't want them to come over here. Like, I cannot, in good conscience, leave my children with you if you are not going to respect our wishes as far as our diet and lifestyle. So you just have to be firm with that. And then people will come around, you know, if they want to see their children, you know, the rest of the children. So that's pretty much all I have for you today. I know I went over a little bit, but I wanted to make sure I got all of that information to you. If you have any other questions or comments that you have off of the show, you can always go to my website, which is Ask Dr. Adiro, A, S as in Safflower, K, D as in Diamond, R, A, D as in Diamond, I, R, O, askdradiro.weebly.com. And I'm actually, I'm going to have a new website that I will announce once I set it up. It's going to be Ask Dr. Adiro also, but it's not set up yet. But askdradiro.weebly.com is my website. askdradiro@gmail.com is my email address if you want to contact me on that for any questions or comments. If you want to schedule an appointment or a consultation, do free 10-minute consultation. That you can set that up on our website as well. If you want to tell me anything that's going on with you, and I can tell you how I can help through those free consultations, please do so. I also have an herbal store that you can also check out. If there are any herbs that you want to help support you on your healing journey, that I have a growing herbal store that you can also check out there. Please like my practice page, which is in Kingu Health, N as in nighttime, apostrophe K-I-N-G-U. That's on Facebook. Just search it on Facebook, and Kingu Health on Facebook, and like it and see updates that I put on there about different health information as well. And also like the Food for Medicine page on Facebook as well. Just type in Food for Medicine in the search and like our page as well. So, yes, so that's all I have for you today. I hope that was informative. I hope everybody got some great information down. If you missed it, don't worry. Just go back into the archives and listen to it again. So yeah, that's about it. I hope everyone has a great weekend. Yeah.
I know. Yes, everyone have a great weekend. Like Chris said, you can always go to the website and check out past and present shows. Another dynamic show, my sister. I just want to say
thank you. Thank you.
Everyone, make sure you tune in tomorrow for Empress T by Dr. Christianity 101. You can also go to the website, blackatthechristianity.net, to check out past shows as well. I just want to say peace to the family. Enjoy your weekend as well as your sis. Yep. And we'll be on next week, Friday, same time, 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Peace.
Yes. All right. Peace, everyone.